God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Heard right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a biblical answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harris Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas. And with me tonight is my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, who is the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And we have with us also our good man, Frank Briscoe, who's running the boards for us tonight and keeping us abreast of some of the things on the chat box.
David, before we go any further on that, tomorrow our dear friend Frank Briscoe is going to be 80 years old and still preaching the gospel.
Amen.
So we're very thankful to have him on our team here working with us, an 80-year-old who's been preaching longer than I've been alive.
well, welcome, Frank, and happy birthday tomorrow.
Well, thank you.
And as you heard in the intro just a moment ago, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have said, and now hear what the Bible has to say. This is the focus of this program each and every Monday night. Now, we're broadcasting from 97.7 FM out of Eastland, Texas, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas, and also the gospelradionetwork.org. This is a live call-in program. We would appreciate your calls. If you have a pencil, please write this number down. It's 855, and just spell it out, Q-A-Bible, 855-Q-A-Bible. That would also be 855-722-4253. We would love to hear your questions. We would love to hear your comments. We're going to talk about some. We've got a very good topic tonight, and we're going to talk about some things in the Old Testament Scripture and how they pertain to us today. Also, you can contact us through the email, if you will, if you like, at questions@harrisonmoore.org, and that will go to my email and also Tom's email, and we'll get you a biblical answer for your question there. If you go on the gospelradionetwork.org, there is a chat room there, and you can also, in that chat room, you can write your comments and your questions there, and we will try to get around to those as we go through the radio program this evening. You can also sign up for the podcast of the program at the harrisonmoore.org at the RSS feed at the bottom of the right-hand corner of the webpage. We would like to, at this time, recognize our sponsors. First of all, we have the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. We have the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We have the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. The De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas. The Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas. The Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas. The Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. Also, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. The Ninth and Main Congregation of the Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. And the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on 48319 Top Road, just outside of Weatherford, and also the Santo Church of Christ. These are our sponsors, and we want to thank you for your sponsorship and your continued encouragement as we go from one week to the next, and we appreciate very much the sponsorship. Now, tonight, Tom, we're going to talk about a phrase that we read in Scripture that Jesus said, and the phrase is, "You do err, not knowing the Scripture." That's found in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29. And, Tom, did you ever wonder why there are so many different beliefs? You can drive down any street in any city, and you're going to find this church and that church and another church and the kinfolks to some of those other churches. I do believe that Jesus is going to have the answer for that tonight as to why we so see so many different beliefs out there with so many different names on the building. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find the answer to that question in this account that we're going to tackle tonight.
You know, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting, David, that a lot of these different doctrines out there are not only different, but they contradict one another.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we're going to learn and realize is if we don't have all of the information about an issue, then that can be very harmful to ourselves, both physically and also spiritually. And what we're most concerned with, David, is that which is spiritual. And you think about, David, if a person does not have the proper information as he's traveling, for example, here lately, we've had a lot of rainfall, haven't mm-hmm. we? I mean, and the bridges are over flooding. And if a person does not have the information he needs before traveling a certain area, especially in recent days, there could be very disastrous for himself. And so in like manner, David, spiritually speaking, if we don't have the proper information, then we can also, as it says here, err, not knowing the Scriptures. Now, David, that phrase was found in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 29. But in chapter 22, beginning in about verse 15, you see that the Pharisees, they approached Jesus. And it's interesting, David, they weren't really there to find out information. What they were there for was to try to entrap Jesus in his words in some way.
Right.
And so they ask him a question. Is it right to give tribute to Caesar? Well, Jesus answers them and tells them that they were to render the things to Caesar that were Caesar's and to God the things that were God. And so mm-hmm. by answering that, they marveled and they left. But then right behind the Pharisees, who came up and began to question him, David?
It was the Sadducees, the ones that believed that there was no resurrection. And their question comes in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 22. Now, before we start reading verse number 24, I think it's very important to know we're going back into the Old Testament for an example here. Mm-hmm. And the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's what we're told over here in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And so when we read the Old Testament laws have changed, but the principles of righteousness behind those laws, they still remain the same even today.
Exactly.
And in Jesus'
mm-hmm.
time as well. So in verse number 24, these Sadducees come running up to Jesus. All they want to do is entrap him as well. And they said, if a man die and have no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he married a wife, he deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third even unto the seventh. And the last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now this is a law that was written in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Jesus is going to use this as an occasion. He's going to use it as a teaching occasion for these Sadducees that are supposed to know the law of Moses.
And they thought they had Jesus in a corner.
They thought they had him dead to rights. And he says there, you do err, not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God.
The English Standard Version says, you are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus tells them, You don't have the knowledge of the scriptures you're claiming to have, or you wouldn't be asking this question in the first place.
Well, now, can't you just see the look on their faces when he answered them this way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really put them back in their place, and they thought they had him. They thought they had him dead to rights, but he told them just exactly what they did not know about the scriptures there.
So these religious folk who were supposed to know the scriptures, Jesus says, you don't know the scriptures. And as you just mentioned, that probably cut them to the heart.
Well, yeah. These were highly educated men.
Exactly.
And they sat at the feet of some of the great scribes and some of the great elders and some of the great leaders of Israel, learning everything that they had learned up until this point. And here comes Jesus, says, you don't know the scriptures at all. You do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power thereof.
You know, it would never have occurred to them that they did not know the scriptures. And you know, they had them and been taught them all of their lives. You know, they sat at the feet of some of the great teachers, and David, and yet they did not know the scriptures. And really, David, what would be the basis, what would be the reason why these people who had access to the scriptures all those years did not really know the scriptures
at
all?
They're like a lot of people today. A lot of people today want to have Jesus, but they don't want to have his word.
Mm-hmm.
And so you ask somebody about their faith, and they say, oh, yeah, I have faith in Jesus, but they know nothing about the word, or either that or very, very little about the word. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And for those individuals today who would like to have Jesus, but they don't want to have the word of Jesus, they would rather have the word of men, they don't have Jesus at all.
You know, there are a lot of people, David, who think they know the scriptures, but they only know a few scriptures.
Right.
You know, they have a certain amount of pet scriptures, maybe. You know,
mm-hmm.
Most of the world knows John chapter 3 and verse 16 and things mm-hmm. of that nature.
Matthew 7 and 1.
Yeah,
judge not, lest you be judged.
Exactly right. But, you know, there's a heart problem involved here, and a lot of people don't know because they don't believe. Many believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. but they don't believe in what he says.
Right.
And so it's important to realize that it takes more than just being around the Bible or being around religious people. You're going to have a right heart to really come to know.
Right, to be able to receive and to be submissive to the mm-hmm. words of God. Now, this is a very interesting point because time and time and time again, you see people that say, I love Jesus, I love God, but I don't believe what the scriptures say. Now, there's a problem with that individual. I believe God means I have faith in God. I have faith in Jesus. But the only way that we can get faith according to the Bible is Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith comes from what we know of the word and the will of God.
And so the more we know about the scriptures, the greater our faith.
Absolutely. The greater our faith. And so a person that would say, I love God, but I can't know his word, I can't know the truth. What is wrong with that statement
or
here?
Or chooses not to know the truth.
Exactly. They have no faith at all.
Exactly.
None.
So the people here on this day, David, when Jesus explained the real situation about the resurrection and marriage after the resurrection, when Jesus explained this, he opened the scriptures to them, and they were astonished at his teaching, something that they had not heard before. And, you know, we were talking today during our meeting together that there were some who that you had studied with who were coming from, a Catholic background,
mm-hmm.
and you were preaching the truth, and they heard things they had never heard before. They were astonished at
right.
the teaching because it came from the Bible.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was the word of God that astonished them.
Mm-hmm.
And all I was an instrument to help them see and open the scriptures for them in much the same way that Jesus did these individuals here. Now, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus by any stretch of the imagination, but when you preach the gospel, I don't care who you are, you're preaching Jesus' words, and you'll never be wrong, and you should never be ashamed.
Kind of reminds me of Romans 1 and verse 16, where Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation.
Right.
And so the power is in the gospel. It's not the power is not in the man, not the deliverer, but the power is in the gospel.
Amen.
You know, today many others would be also astonished when the scriptures would be opened to them. If they would just open their minds and their hearts to the scriptures, how many people would be astonished?
Yeah.
How many people would realize, you know what? What I've been doing is not in the scriptures. We need to have the mentality, David, that we need to have a book, chapter and verse,
right,
for all that we say, for all that we do, for all that we practice, for where we go and perform our religious acts, book, chapter, verse, preaching.
Right. Now, these individuals that we were talking about here, that can be found, the Pharisees, the Sadducees of Matthew chapter 22, they were in error of the scriptures. And he says, you do err not knowing the scripture. Now, their first error was not knowing the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it kind of reminds me of what a lady told me last night as we were coming out of the auditorium. She says, what do you do with the person who refuses to listen? I said, well, you can't do much with them. She said, well, I've been talking to a man that told me that he has lots of faith. But he said, I don't go to church or anything like that, but I have lots of faith. In other words, I have a lot of belief in what the Word of God says. But the Word of God says not to forsake the assembling of the saints together, as the manner of some is, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Well, now, if he had the faith and the love and the trust in God, then he would be attending services and not just saying, I have faith, but I don't go to church.
Exactly. You know, these people there on this occasion, David, Matthew chapter 22, the Word of God was available for them.
Mm-hmm.
They had the ability, they had the capability to understand. Their error was in not knowing. Their error was in their failure to study for themselves.
Right.
And the question I have, David, is why would a person fail to study the Bible?
Well, people become complacent, and just like in days gone by, people would rather somebody tell them what's in this book than read it themselves. And I know that you know, and Frank knows, and I know people that say, well, my preacher said.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe anything your preacher said unless he can back it up with Scripture.
Exactly.
And so just because your preacher said something doesn't make it scriptural, not unless God said it and he repeated it. And so we've got to constantly question everything that we hear, especially in today's society where there are so many different denominational bodies running around out there that you don't know what to believe, and people get confused as to what to believe. Now, these Sadducees and Pharisees should have known better, because they had it available to them, and their error was not knowing. It was an error of a failure to study the book themselves. In the 119th Psalm, we talked about this earlier today. We're talking about a heart problem, and when you have a heart problem, you really don't either care what's in there, or if you do care what's in there, you will not take the time to find out what's in this book. David, King David, in the 119th Psalm, in verse number 47, he says this: and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in your statutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the kind of attitude, that's the kind of heart that we must have to be receptive to the Word of God. We've got to love it.
You know, when we think about loving God's word, and that's important and vital.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is a consequence to us not knowing the scriptures. You know, it says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, I've got a controversy with you.
With the people of the land.
Because there was no knowledge of God in the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a land, David, where the word of God is so valuable and so important and is critical to our salvation, and yet people don't spend time with the book. They wouldn't. Well, how many times have you seen people in the audience, you tell them to go to a certain passage, and they have to look at the concordance before they get there?
Mm-hmm.
That tells me they have not been spending time with the book. You know, you may not know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but you'll know it kind of where they are because you've been there several times.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's something else about Hosea in chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Now, the next part of this is very scary. Seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's a mark of selfishness when a parent or a grandparent refuses to see what the knowledge of God revealed is so that they may teach their own children. He said, because you have rejected knowledge, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Is anything more scary than that?
There's not. You know, David, on the chat box, Carol says, it is easy to continue to believe error when those around you whom you trust reinforce what you think is truth. The Bereans recognized that they could not rely on what they were told without first verifying that truth.
Amen.
And that's where it all boils down to, David. There's so much error, and we're going to be talking about certain aspects of that later on, but that's an important thing for us to realize at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We can't rely on somebody else for our salvation. We can't rely upon somebody else for our Bible knowledge.
Right.
We need to be like the Bereans and search the Scriptures to make sure what we're being taught is really so.
Right. Well, you know, we do everything in our power to make sure that our children are physically safe from a very, very early age. Mm-hmm. We buy car seats to keep them, if there's a wreck happens in the automobile, they're going to be safe. We buy them safety helmets. We do everything of a safety nature when it comes to the physical aspect of life. But when the spiritual aspect is considered, many, if not most parents, they look the other way and they act like it just doesn't matter because they have forgotten the law of their God and they refuse to teach it to their children.
You know, David, remember tonight to call, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. If you got a question or a comment, call us at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking tonight about the topic of you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Jesus said this to the Sadducees because they were asking questions that had they known what the Scriptures said, they would not have asked it mm-hmm. in the first place.
Right.
Well, David, we've got a very interesting passage in the Old Testament that really illustrates for us what we're talking about in regard to the Sadducees' era in that they did not know the Scriptures. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 22. David, tell us about a little bit about what's taking place there in 2 Kings chapter 22.
Well, what has happened, we don't know all of the details of just exactly what went on, but when the young King Josiah came to rule, what is the name of the high priest there? Hilkiah, I believe that's the name of
Hilkiah. Yes, uh-huh.
Hilkiah has discovered the book, the law of Moses, and it has been lost. This book has been misplaced for several years, and it was, of all places, it was lost in the temple. The standard of right and wrong for all of God's people was lost in, of all places, the temple.
Can you imagine, David, the book of God being lost, and they've been going all these years doing these very things mm-hmm. and not consulting the Word of God. And you think about, let's just say David, a carpenter, is building a house.
Mm-hmm.
He has a set of blueprints, and he starts building the house, but he's lost the blueprints or laid them aside, and for the next several days, he's building this house but never consults the blueprints. What's liable or most likely or most assuredly going to happen if the carpenter does not frequently consult the blueprints?
Well, it's not going to be built correctly.
So all these years, Israel has not been consulting the blueprints. That's kind of interesting.
Yes, it is. And the longer you stay away from the standard, the worse it's going to get. Now, you know, we've all played that game when we were in kindergarten or first grade or second grade where you tell somebody something at the beginning of a circle, you whisper it in their ear where nobody else can hear it, and it goes all the way around the circle, and by mm-hmm. the time it comes out the other side, it's nothing like it started to be.
Exactly.
Absolutely nothing. And so all of these generations, all of these people had been misplacing this book and not looking to the standard that was in the book, and there are some horrific results to the loss of this book. Now, these are some of the things that were written aforetime that were written for our learning, and we should gain something from this.
You know what's sad, David, is in many of the religious organizations in the world today, and sadly even in the large church, the book of God has been lost.
Sure it has.
It's not been looked at. You know, it might be lost by dust on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's sad, David, is that the Word of God is even being lost in our schools. It's being lost in our government. You know, our nation was formed with biblical principles in mind.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, we realize that the morality of our nation is going away.
Yeah.
And in our schools.
And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, some of the errors in morality. But before we get there, let's look at the results of losing the book of the law, and that book being lost. And we look in the same chapter, 2 Kings chapter 22, and verse number 17, God says, "They have forsaken me. They have forsaken me." Now, this gets back to what we were talking about just a moment ago in John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12, and verse 48 says, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You can't have Jesus without his word.
Exactly.
And you cannot have his word without Jesus. Now, God right here says, "They have forsaken me." Why? Why did he accuse them of that? Because they lost the book. They lost his word. So they have forsaken him.
And as a result of that, David, they were giving themselves to the worship of Molech. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 16, it says, "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another." That's what happens, David, when we get away from the Word of God.
Now, you know, we've talked about this before in previous program and years gone by, but can you imagine how much blood it takes to fill the streets of Jerusalem from one end to the other? That's a lot of blood.
That's right.
That is an awful lot of blood. And this is the result of losing the standard of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the king has just taken the entire country and put them in a lost condition during the time that this book was lost.
Exactly. And so we think about this scenario, Dave, with regard to King Josiah, when he realized that the book was lost,
mm-hmm.
he was in great mourning. He said, "Let's open up the book and let's find out what we ought to be doing."
Right.
And as a result of that, they made changes on the spot. Isn't that a good example for us?
No doubt.
We need to be making changes
Especially if we didn't know what was right and wrong to begin with. Once we got what was right and what was wrong, mm-hmm. well, we need to make that change.
Exactly.
We've got no problem if we were doing it right, mm-hmm. and God would have had no problem, and he never would have said anything like, they have forsaken me, if they were doing right all along. But the fact of the matter is, unless you continually read the Word, you will never know what the standard of right and wrong is.
And that tells us, David, just how important it is for us to be involved in frequent Bible study.
No doubt.
You know, we eat every day. We eat three times a day to make ourselves strong. Sometimes we eat twice a day because we eat a lot, you know, for breakfast and lunch, and we mm-hmm. may skip supper or things of that nature. But there are certain things we do every day to sustain ourselves physically. We drink water. We eat. Well, David, why aren't we giving more time to our spiritual well-being by drinking from the fountains of God's Word, by hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Mm-hmm. Do we not need to spend time in this area? You know, we spend, you know, I don't know what the average person, but some people might spend in the evening 2, 3, 4 hours watching television,
right,
and not spend one moment in God's Word. There seems to be something wrong with that.
Absolutely. There is something wrong. And what we need to ask now is how far will people go today in error not knowing the Scriptures? Now, we've got the same scenario here that Jesus was speaking about when these people came up to him and started telling them they were quoting partial truths out of the Word of God. But now he says, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. A partial truth is just as good as a lie in many cases.
Exactly. And how far did Manasseh go in his going away from the Scriptures? So much so that he was now getting away from worshiping the one true God mm-hmm. to passing their children through the fire in worship of a false god. Well, now, that's how far away.
Just talk about that for just a moment ago. Passing their children into the fire. They were offering their children as a sacrifice to an idolatrous god by the name of Molech.
Now, you think about that issue, David. They were killing their children already out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Today, is there not many people who are symbolically offering their children to Molech and killing the child in the womb?
Yeah, well, and as was stated earlier this morning, the only reason they're not sacrificing them later on is because they're already killed in the womb.
Exactly. And so, how does that happen? Well, the Bible teaches against abortion.
Absolutely.
And really, David, abortion ought to be called murder because that's exactly what it is.
Stay with the terminology.
Exactly. And so, when a child is murdered in the womb, well, the Bible teaches against that. Mm-hmm. You know, every life is important. We hear a lot of women today, well, you know, I've got to do what's best for me, and we ought to have, a woman ought to have the right to do with her own body what she wants to do.
Right.
Well, you don't ever have the right to kill an innocent child.
No.
Never.
Never, never, ever has been that way. Well, our society, Tom, is dominated by hedonism. And that's just a big word for saying the pursuit of pleasure. And that's exactly what goes on. Sensualism and the lovers of pleasure. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, we have a very, very good scripture that will talk about these individuals that love the pleasure more than they even love God. And this is what we're talking about. We have a lot of people in the world that claim that they love God, and yet they are consumed with the pursuit of pleasure. You got that passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4?
In that context, let's begin reading up there in verse 1 of mm-hmm. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But understanding this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's hedonism.
Right.
And the reason that occurs, David, is that people do not know what the Bible says.
They do err not knowing the Scripture. And let's be fair about it. Some of them don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care what's in there, whether they like it or not. They just flat don't care. But, you know, as a general rule in this society, people justify things. They try to rationalize things. They try to rationalize their actions. And they ask the question, well, is it good for us, and or does it give us pleasure? And if it does, well, then it's going to be okay. And that is their standard of right and wrong.
You know, in the 60s, it was, if it feels good, do it, mm-hmm. society, right? Make love, not war. You know, it's what pleases us that the world is really focused on instead of what's pleasing God. But, David, how can we know what pleases God if we do not have a knowledge of the Scriptures?
Well, we can't please God if we don't have a knowledge of the Scriptures. It is absolutely impossible. If you look at the I got distracted there. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. What we see there is an admonition by the Holy Spirit through Paul. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, if you want to be approved in the sight of God, you've got to know the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know the Scriptures. He said, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we've got to be able to rightly divide, and that means to make the proper application of what he has told us to do in the book.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And if we've lost the book, or if we've torn the book up, or if we just flat don't care what's in that book, we've got a real, real problem. And a lot of people, Tom, think that they have a right to do whatever they want to do as long as it gives them pleasure, and you have no right to tell them that they can't do it.
How many times have you heard things like this, David? The Lord wants me
to be happy.
Be happy.
Yeah.
You know, well, he does, but he wants you to be happy in his way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what makes us happy is not always what makes God happy. You know, what should make us happy, David, is being pleasing to God.
Right.
And if we study the Scriptures, we have a good knowledge of the Scriptures. Not just a few Scriptures, but a good, well-rounded knowledge of the Scriptures, then we will understand what makes God happy. And if I make God happy, I should be happy.
Well, we've had a problem with our phone system, but if you'll call in again, evidently we thought we had all of this fixed. Give us another call. We have some things here that we would like to really talk to you about. Now, some of the things that are being taught and practiced because people don't know the Scripture. Right now, the great headline throughout the majority of the United States of America, starting with the White House down in politics and laws all over the country, is that of gay marriage and the open acceptability and acceptance of homosexuality. When you look at gay marriage, there's really no such thing as gay marriage, because the definition of marriage is the union between a man and a woman.
And a person would know that if they had an understanding and a knowledge of the Scriptures.
No doubt about it. And there would be no argument.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and what was that, David, you were telling me about Mark Rubio, when a liberal broadcaster or a
journalist
was asking him about homosexuality.
He was asking him if his religion I'm paraphrasing, warp his mind toward the acceptance of gay marriage. And he just turned right back around and told that journalist, he says, gay marriage is an assault on Christianity. And that's an absolute truism.
Exactly right.
Because if you accept one, you must reject the other.
Exactly right.
And this is where Jesus comes back in again. He says, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so what we see here is that we have an assault on Christianity. An assault on Christianity.
David, we got a call.
Okay. All right. Caller, why don't you give us your name, your first name, and your comment or your question, please.
Hey, it's Mike.
Yes, Mike.
I'm calling people today. They want what fits their life. They don't want to come down to church with us because we'll tell them what they're doing is wrong. Or most of the denominations will say, oh, you're welcome here. What you're doing is fine. And people just want to be happy and accepted for what they are, although it may be wrong. It doesn't matter to them that what they're doing is wrong. They don't agree with it.
You know, you're exactly right. You know, and people are not willing to do what the Bible says because they're more interested in doing their own will, aren't they, Mike?
Yes, sir. If they're homosexual or if they're living an adulterous life or whatever, if you tell them they're wrong, they're not happy to hear that.
And, you know, even if you say, telling that you give them the book, chapter, and verse for why they are wrong, they still do not like it because, you know, we talked about earlier about how people don't love the truth of God's Word and therefore they reject the knowledge. They don't want to be bothered with the truth of God's Word. They just want to keep on doing things their own way.
And this goes back to kind of what Carol said on the chat box just a moment ago. When people get told what they want to hear by either preachers or religious people that ought to know what they're talking about, well, when they hear what they want to hear, well, then it just re-emphasizes everything that they want to hear, what they want to believe, because now they are believing everything that they want to do. And God's Word is just not like that. We can't do everything we want to do. There's some things that we're going to have to give up.
Yeah, I talked with a man at work that I was telling him some things that were just wrong in what he believed, and he's like, well, that's your interpretation.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not an interpretation. This is the words right here.
And that's the big cop-out with society today. That's just your interpretation.
People believe that the Bible is subjective, you know, subject to your own interpretation, mm-hmm. but it is an objective truth. You know, 1 + 1 = 2, whether or not you believe it or not. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, whether you believe it or not. You know, so there are a lot of people who throw out that, well, that's just your interpretation. But most of the time, they don't have much knowledge of the Scripture. They wouldn't be throwing things out like that.
Amen. Amen. Well, did that answer your question? We appreciate your comments, Mike. Keep listening and call in frequently.
Well, thanks for giving us a good show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
All right.
You know, David, when we think about this idea of people not knowing the Scripture, which leads to errors in morality, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of things that we could choose to talk about. But we chose to talk about homosexuality because it is being constantly, almost daily, run down our throat that homosexuality is okay and that God's okay with this and things of that nature. But the Bible is very, very clear on this subject. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9,
mm-hmm.
or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. David, you can't get any clearer than that. God says those who practice such things will not go to heaven.
Amen. And we need to understand that. And he also says here in verse 11, and we don't need to leave this part out.
Exactly.
He said, and such were some of you. Which means they weren't born that way, they chose to be that way, but they could come out of that way mm-hmm. if they only get their mind right, if they only get their heart right, because it's a heart problem that causes sin.
Exactly right. And if you don't know what the scripture, you know, some people out there may honestly believe that it's okay because mm-hmm. they have never read the scriptures for themselves and come to an understanding of the scripture. Again, they may know a few scriptures here and there, but do not know the totality of what they need to know.
Well, you know, I received an email from this young lady that was married to another young lady. And in this email, she was angry at everybody for not being acceptant. Not being accepted by the general public for the things that she had done. And so what she did, she got on her Facebook and wrote a what she thought was a very, very degrading letter. She says, please spread the word just as quickly as you did the rumors so that everything would be clear up and we can go on to our fantastic lives as one big, happy, non-judging, full of love, accepting, God-fearing, Bible-knowing family. We love everyone. You should try it too. Well, in the first place, they're not God-fearing. They know nothing about the scriptures, or they don't care about the scriptures. And they're claiming that if anybody says anything detrimental about this gay marriage that she's in, that they are judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
God does the judging here.
That's
We're
right.
just repeating what he says. These are God's words. We're not making them up, are we, Tom?
No, you know, we give put chapter and verse for what we believe and practice. You've heard what men have said.
Amen.
Men says it's okay. God says it is not okay. And men do err not knowing the scriptures. They get themselves, David, in all kinds of moral errors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not only homosexuality, but you know, the Bible also condemns fornication of any sort, whether it be homosexual fornication, whether it be fornication between a man and a woman who aren't married, whether it be adultery, whether it be watching pornography.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are condemned. And you would know that if you had a knowledge of the scriptures.
Right. And as we said just a moment ago, there are some things that you cannot do that's going to be acceptable to God. Frank, you were talking earlier this morning about some of these things. And what would you like to add to what we've been talking about right here?
Well, I think the thing that you and Tom both have been expressing is the fact that there is such a vacuum of knowledge insofar as what the scriptures actually say. And people hear things. Bill made a statement on chat box a while ago about they hear a preacher say it or they hear a teacher say it, and they don't look to see what the Bible
mm-hmm.
says. And consequently, many people are doing these things having convinced themselves that it's all right. They don't have a knowledge of Scripture. They don't know what God has said. Consequently, they don't have anything as a real guide for their life.
Well, you made a comment earlier this morning about, you know, people thinking that they say they know the Scriptures when in fact they know some Scripture.
I think that's a real problem is we know a little. We take you take someone on a particular subject, whether it be homosexuality, marriage, or whatever, and they'll hunt one or two scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll try to build their thinking around these scriptures without taking into consideration the context or what the rest of the Bible says, and it leads them in a direction that's irreversible. They're going to be lost if they keep going away from God.
Well, I heard an elder tell one of his members there one time, he said, you know what your problem is? You know just enough scripture to be dangerous. Mm-hmm. And that's a very true statement. A lot of people just, you know, they get Matthew chapter 7, judge not lest you be judged. And they get John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they know just enough to be dangerous here because they don't read the rest of the context behind those two statements that were made right there. If they read the rest of the chapter, they find out what they think they know is nothing like they do know.
You know, and so what we've learned from this then, David, it takes effort on our part to acquire the knowledge that we need to be pleasing in the sight of God. We know we can't just treat Bible study and a knowledge of God like going to the cafeteria, mm-hmm. you know, to where you go through and, you know what, I think I'm just going to focus my life on the book of 2 John or the book of 1 John.
Right.
You know, and just put our focus there. You know, when Paul preached, he preached, what, the whole counsel of God.
Right.
You say, well, you know, so that's why it takes effort on our time. I mean, you can't get this, David, by spending 30 minutes a week hearing somebody else talk about the Bible. You just can't get the knowledge that you need. You can't get the knowledge of God's Word that you need by just sitting in an audience on Sunday morning and listening to your preacher preach for 30 minutes. That's never going to be enough for you to acquire the knowledge that you need to really be pleasing in the sight of God.
Right. And a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think that you can be spiritually healthy by going and sitting in a pew. And the fact of the matter is, if that's all the thing and all of the time that we spent on our physical health, we'd be in trouble. I mean, that wouldn't give you time to brush your teeth or to take a bath or to wash your head or to shave your face or anything else. I mean, you wouldn't have the time invested in your physical body to stay healthy with 30 minutes in a week.
Exactly.
And so why would you think that your spiritual self would be healthy if you just spent 30 minutes a week working on it?
Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Okay, I think one of the things that Satan has convinced people, perhaps as much as anything else, is that the Bible is hard to understand, and you don't need to try to read it. You'll just get mixed up, and consequently, people just don't want to read it.
Right,
they're afraid of it.
Well, you hear a lot of people say, well, you know, the Bible is just full of contradiction, just full of contradiction. The first time somebody tells you that, well, then you just ask them, show me one.
Yeah. Which one are you talking about?
Yeah. Show me one.
And what they'll do is back up. They've just heard that said.
They heard somebody say that. And the answer to that is you do not knowing the Scripture.
Exactly right. And so this whole situation, now tonight we're talking about you do not knowing the Scripture. We've talked about, David, error number one is not knowing the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. Now remember, we have only a few minutes left. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. People are erring. People are wrong. People are in error because they have no idea what the Bible says on any given subject. They may have a knowledge of a little thing here and a little thing there, but not nearly what they need. And David, the only way they're ever going to come to that knowledge is to give diligent time to the study of God's Word.
Right.
You know, David, we have one more thing that we can hit on tonight, and this is one that a lot of people have some difficulty with, because they deal more in their emotions or what they've always believed or what they've heard.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people have a misconception about judgment or about death and what comes after death. You know, how many times have you heard a preacher, let me just put it this way, David, a so-called preacher who preaches a heathen right in to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe the most ungodly man you've ever known, and that old preacher, so-called preacher, I put that in quotation marks, says, well, this man said the sinner's prayer when he was 10 years old, and therefore he's with the Lord in heaven right now.
And there would be a lot of people that would say, well, Tom, you are judgmental. You are judging. And you better believe we're judging, not based upon our word, but based upon the word of God and the command that we have in John chapter 7 and verse 24 says, judge righteous judgments. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. If we judged according to appearance, we'd all be in trouble. But if we judge righteous judgments, and the righteousness is the word of God, those are the judgments that are made based upon the word of God, then we've got it right. And we should never need to apologize for using God's word to make an application of life.
Mm-hmm. You know, we think about David with regard to death. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people today. You know, how many times have you seen in a cemetery where there's like a little bench by a grave, and the person who very honestly and sincerely sits on that little bench and wants and is talking to their loved one like they can hear. Now, that's a very heart-wrenching scenario, mm-hmm. but David, that is not what the Bible says about death. There is no communication back and forth in regard to with regard to death.
No, there's not. And there is such a great misconception about death itself that many people, especially it's a time of high emotionalism, extremely high emotionalism, and people want to believe things that just are not so, and they do err not knowing the scriptures. Let me ask you this: how many times have you read the obituary? Now Frank is an obituary reader, and Frank, tell me how many times you've seen somebody in the obituaries ever end up in hell?
Never. Very very simple. Never. Ever. You can look at the obituary, and everyone there has gone to be with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
or something to that effect, regardless of how they live. You know, the Holy Spirit told us that we were going to be judged according to the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. The only way we can know what deeds are good and what deeds are bad is by a knowledge of God's word.
Amen. Amen. And so we don't want to err in our knowledge of the scriptures, not in life and not in death either.
Exactly.
And when you hear these people over and over and over talk, and they tell people out and out lies about where their Uncle Bob is going to go or where their grandmother is going to go. I mean, just out and out lies about people who never had any kind of regard for God whatsoever, never knew any scripture whatsoever, never cared about Jesus all the time that they were living, but now all of a sudden they made a tremendous transition at death.
Exactly. Well, David, we're out of time. And we're going to continue our thoughts next week about you do err not knowing the scriptures. And they're going to be discussing some various doctrinal errors that people have because of their lack of knowledge of the scriptures.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station.